As I said before, we're continuing our series through the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be looking in just a few minutes at Lord's Day 49, dealing with the third petition, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's this doing of the will of the Lord that is our focus. So our text is going to be taken from Mark chapter 3. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. And we're going to start a reading at verse 31. Mark chapter 3 at verse 31. Mark chapter 3 at verse 31, that's page 997. Mark 3 at verse 31. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, Who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. There, Jesus identifying the one who does the will of God is a part of Jesus' family. So let's now read in the back of our songbooks, looking at Lord's Day 49. That's page 895. 895 in the back of our red songbooks, Lord's Day 49. And I'll read the question. Let's respond together with the answer. Again, this is Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124. Here in the Lord's Prayer. Question 124, what does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of this word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the joys and challenges that every newly married couple faces is this. What does my spouse enjoy doing? Often, the things that your spouse enjoys doing may not be the same things that you enjoy doing. So there's a time of transition when you're figuring out, well, the things I like may not align with the things that my spouse likes. We can be very thankful that our God makes it very clear what He delights in. Our God does not make us guess. He doesn't make us live in the dark. I'm not sure if this is something God would approve of or not. God very clearly tells us what the life that He delights us to live in. The way of life that He reveals that He would delight in is called the will of God. So today we're going to be looking at the will of God, and we're going to see the connection between what God delights in and what He reveals in His Word. Continuing in our prayers, we have considered God's name and how it is to be hallowed, God's kingdom and how it is to come, and this week we are going to consider God's will and how it is to be done. Now, to be clear, when we are acknowledging God's will, we are not simply to recognize that He is sovereign. More than that, we are going to see that we are to delight and actively pursue a life that is pleasing to God. So we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to pursue God's will in our lives. Thy will be done. And our first point then, we are going to recognize or identify what God's will is. If in this prayer we are praying for Jesus Christ to open our eyes and by the Spirit enable us to live in a way that is in accordance with God's will, it stands to reason we have to know what God's will is. So here we distinguish between what is called the revealed will of God and the secret will of God. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 puts it like this. The secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children. So when we speak of the will of God, we are recognizing that there is a distinction to be made. There are certain things that are not revealed, things that are hidden, things that we cannot and need not know. These things are sometimes called the mysterious works of God or his providential working. This will of God is being done, will be done, and unfolds as time continues. His divine plan will always come to be. This calls for submission. As God's will is being revealed like a blossoming flower, we see it in our lives as is revealed in time, and we are called to submit ourselves to it. For example, Job did not know what was going on behind the scenes. He wasn't purview of everything that was going on in heaven, and yet as Job experienced these things, he submitted himself to it. He said, should we receive only good and not ill from the Lord's hand? He submitted himself to the will of God. His ignorance concerning why these things were taking place did not stop him from submitting and even obeying in the midst of difficult providence. Even after his wife encouraged him to curse the Lord, Job remained steadfast in his faith and he continued to bless the name of the Lord. So although we do not know exactly specifically what our future will hold in this regard to the will of God, we are to receive it from the Lord's hand and submit ourselves to it. But what is specifically in view with this petition is the revealed things, the will of God for our lives, specifically in the actions that God calls us to carry out. This will of God is clearly revealed in the Word of God. It is the application of what God calls us to do and how He calls us to live. His desire for you. When we recognize, as the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path, we are acknowledging that God's word clearly sets before us, revealing to us how God wants us to live. This will of God is sufficiently revealed. What we need to know in order to live a life that is pleasing to God is clearly marked out. So when we in this prayer pray, your will be done, we are praying, Lord, help me to clearly know and to live in a way that is in accordance with your desire, with your revealed will. This will of God is all-encompassing, meaning that it covers every aspect of our lives. Yet it is not minutely specific. In other words, the direction that God gives us in His Word is for all of life, but does not specifically tell us what we are to do in every situation. For example, when it comes to marriage, the Bible clearly says you are to marry in the Lord. Don't be unequally yoked. You find someone who is a fellow Christian, that is someone you are to marry. But the Bible does not specifically say this person's name is to be linked to this person's name. The exact specific person you are to marry is not revealed in His Word. So God's will covers every aspect of life, giving us principles and directions so that we can live our lives in His presence. What we need to know is clearly revealed here and is to be applied to every aspect of our lives. There is no part of our life that is outside the purview, outside the realm of God's Word. We can never say, well, God's word speaks to this part of my life, but doesn't speak to this part of my life. We could never say, God's word tells me what I need to do on Sunday, but doesn't tell me what I need to do on Monday. God's word doesn't tell me what I need to do when it comes to my work, but not what I do with recreation. No, God's word covers every aspect of our lives. And here we could speak to the perfections of Scripture. The perfections of Scripture is that God's word is sufficient, God's word is clear, God's word is necessary, and God's word has all authority. This will of God, he reveals how he wants us to live, is summarized for us in the Ten Commandments, the royal rule of love. These Ten Commandments are then explained and applied for us by Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. This is God telling us how, as his people, he wants us to live. Not only does Jesus Christ perfectly reveal and apply God's word to us, Jesus Christ himself perfectly kept God's will. As he said in John chapter 6, he came from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. So even Jesus himself recognizes at the beginning of his earthly ministry that his life was being guided and directed by the will of his heavenly Father. And as God's people, we now have the Spirit working within us so that we can rightly know and apply and obey God's word in all aspects of our lives. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 5, verse 10. Try to discern what is pleasing to God. So part of spiritual maturity is that as we learn to incorporate all of Scripture to all of our lives, we are trying to discern what kind of life, what kind of actions are pleasing to our God. And that is what we are praying for and committing ourselves to when we pray, "Your will be done. Lord, teach me the kind of life that is pleasing to you, and by your Spirit enable me to live a life that is glorifying to you as my God and as my King." And in fact, we could say that obedience to the will of God is what defines a Christian. Jesus makes this very point in Mark chapter 3. We read this a few minutes ago. Here Jesus had his own mother and brothers standing outside of the house trying to get a company with Jesus, an audience with him. And Jesus looks around him and he says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" It's the people that do the will of God. These are my brothers, my sister, and my mother. Obedience to God's will, Jesus says, is what marks, what identifies a person who is a part of God's family, who does the will of God. And we also know that the ultimate end that God desires for us is revealed in his word as well. God not only wants us to obey his word as a sign, as a mark of being a child of God, he even reveals why this is good for us. The ultimate end of his will is to bless his people. What does the Father want for you and for your life? John 6, verse 40 puts it like this. Here Jesus speaking. John 6, verse 40. "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." So the ultimate end and goal of us submitting to and obeying the will of God is for us to have eternal life. You see, the beauty and the glory, we're going to see this more in our second point, but the beauty and the glory of the will of God is God wants us to submit to and obey his will, because as we submit to and obey his will, we learn to look to his Son, to believe in his Son, to trust in Jesus Christ. And the end result of that is eternal life. It's clear that God's will for you is for your good. He desires good for you, even blessings and life everlasting. That's why he wants you to know, to see, to believe, and to obey his Son. Because in submitting to the word of God, we find the path of life. Well, now that we understand the way in which to see the will of God, knowing God's will for us, in our second point then, we are going to see how we are to respond to the will of God. Knowing God's will is not enough. You can know the Ten Commandments, and there are many people in our world who can recite the Ten Commandments, but have never received the benefit and blessing of obedience. So it is our prayer, not only help me to know your will, help me to obey your will. Give me not only a knowledge, but by your Spirit, the will and the way. So question and answer 124 says, when you pray this petition, your will be done. The first thing that we are praying is help me to reject my own will. Help me to say no to my own desires, my own wants. Help me to reject it, to renounce it. Now, why do we need to renounce our own will? Why do we need to say no to our own desires? Well, the fact is, our own desires are often wicked, selfish, worldly, and ungodly. We want temporary pleasures and praises. Here again, we confess, help me to reject my own will because I know my will is bad. My will, my desires have been tainted and corrupted. Imagine if we lived in a world where God gave everyone everything that they wanted, whatever their hearts desired. Can you imagine what this world would be like if every person got what they wanted? What death and destruction would we see? So as God's people, we learn to acknowledge our own wills, our own desires. Help me and all men to reject our own wills because our own wills are contrary to your will. Rather, help me to say no to myself and help me to say yes to you and to your word, to delight in and obey your word. Now, why, getting back to this previous point, why should we delight in God's word? Why should we rejoice in God's word? Well, one of the reasons we should rejoice in God's word is because it's for our good. It's not only for your good, it is for the good of others. Loving God and loving our neighbor leads to a life of blessing. And even as John 6 puts it, obeying God, submitting to God by trusting in his Son leads to life everlasting. God's will is for your good. And that's why we acknowledge that we are to say no to our own will and yes to the will of God. The problem is that most people think they are smarter, that they are wiser than God. Most people think, well, God is saying no to me and he's really withholding something that is good. I know what's best for me, people tend to think. It's like that little rebellious child that sneaks all of the candy to their room and hides in their room as they stuff their face only to learn the consequences of a stomach ache and the cavities as the result. Mankind must learn God is our creator and he knows what is best for us and for fellow man. And we acknowledge that it is this submission to God's will that ultimately leads to true blessing in life. So in obeying God's will, not only will we avoid the many painful consequences of sin and rebellion, we also enjoy the blessings of life and fellowship with God and our fellow man. But before we close, we notice that in the petition, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your will be done as it is in heaven. Why do we have this little phrase at the end? Not only your will be done, but as it is in heaven. Well, in this phrase, as it is in heaven, we are noting the manner of obedience and the example of obedience. What is the manner of obedience? How is God's will obeyed in heaven? Well, it is obeyed in heaven speedily and without any backtalk. Or we could say God's will is obeyed in heaven without grumbling and complaining, as Philippians 2 puts it. As God's people, that is what we are praying. Lord, help me to obey your will and help me to obey it with a proper attitude. There is a world of difference between obeying and obeying in the right way, the right manner. And I'm sure as parents in our church can testify to this fact. We can see our children obeying, but as they are obeying, you can see they are rebelling in their hearts. As God's people, we are praying, Lord, help me to obey you, but help me to delight in obeying you. Not only help me to externally go through the motions, but soften, change my heart so that I love your word. Who of us can truly say, your word is sweeter to my tongue than honey? I desire your word more than gold and silver. I mean, what child smiles when their parents remind them that they need to make their bed and take the trash out and do the dishes? But that is our ultimate desire. We want our hearts to be so softened and so changed that we delight in doing what God desires and delights in. Help me to obey you, God, with a heart that is happy and cheerful. Unlike the Israelites who grumbled in the wilderness, make me a child that actively seeks and delights in your word. So that is the manner in which we are to obey. We also find examples in this obedience. The specific example given to us, set before us, is the angelic host. Help me to obey you as the angels in heaven obey you, as it is in heaven. We read earlier from Psalm 103, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. The heavenly angels are identified as those who obey God's will specifically, quickly, and perfectly. If the servants, however, are quick and steadfast to obey the will of God, how much more we as children shouldn't we obey the will of our God? You see, angels are servants. Jesus Christ did not die for angels. Angels do not know redemption. And yet they are cheerful and quick to obey. How much more the descendants of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham, who have the gifts of redemption, how much more we as children, shouldn't we delight in obeying the will of our Heavenly Father? Psalm 40, I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is written in my heart. And again, Jesus Christ himself, as he prayed in Luke 22, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. So as we pray this prayer, we are identifying examples that are set before us. Help me to follow the example of the angels themselves in heaven. May I do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. As we close, we all recognize that words are cheap. It is easy to pray this prayer without acknowledging the significance of it. Jesus himself put it this way, by your fruit you will know them. As we bring together the last couple weeks, the first petitions of the Lord's Prayer, listen to these words from Matthew chapter 7. This is Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we prayed for the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Only those who do the will of my Father will enter to the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of the Father in heaven will be brought into God's kingdom. So then, reinforcing the point that we heard earlier, obedience to God's will is the mark of a kingdom citizen. As our theme states, Jesus Christ teaches us to pursue God's will in our lives. So may we all pray for God's will to be done, and may we pursue a life of obedience to the will of our Father, submitting to his divine plan, yes, but also committed to obeying his revealed will. That is how you are known as a child of God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of prayer, and we pray that as your children, we would delight in doing your will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.